You are probably wondering how one's faith can be seen through music.
There is grace all around me. You know, the earth bows up to bear me. You know, every day it holds me up. The air wraps around me.
How does music lead to God? Is music mind transforming?
It's all in the lyrics. You know, you can't trust something unless you're confident that it works.
Can music be profound, powerful, phenomenal, unfathomable, mesmerizing, and mysterious?
I like taking abstract concepts and thinking of them physically.
In 1 Samuel 16, verses 14 and 23, we see David playing the harp for King Saul. Music touches the mind, body, and soul. Listen in as we talk faith through music.
The Ear, Evangelical and Reformed, Christian Podcast. Welcome to The Ear, the Evangelical and Reformed, a Christian podcast that urges you to think deeper and draws you closer to God through faith. Through powerful sermons, teaching segments, and discussions, The Ear hopes to give you a different perspective on secular topics from a Christian worldview. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Please welcome your host, Brandon Queen.
Good morning, podcast world. Welcome back to another week, another great episode of The Ear. And today we're talking about faith and music. So again, my name is Brandon Queen, and it is a joy and a privilege to bring you quality content through The Ear. It is my goal to bring you Christian and biblical commentary on topics that the secular realm often get wrong. Here on The Ear, we hope that through discussion, we can show you a connection between faith and music. During today's episode, we will show you how faith and music can please God and also be comforting to your soul. Today's guest, we have the privilege of having the illustrious creative writer to ever grace the realms of this podcast. He writes his own music, he dabbles in poetry, and he is all around an awesome human being that God graciously gave me as a friend. My man, Jean Glory. All right, Jean, tell us about yourself.
I'm not worthy of such flowery prose, but I do appreciate it.
Sure you are.
Hi, I'm Jean Glory. I make music. I love to write. I've been doing music for a long time. That's me.
All right. Well,
I have I guess I should go into more detail. I have a band called Day Like This with my wife, Mandy Glory. We've toured the country. We've produced some songs recently. Our latest one is Fan Into Flame that we released earlier this year. And we got some more songs that will be coming out soon. I've also recently been producing for other artists. Lately, I've been producing for Deanna May, and I've opened up a home studio in our nice new home in Pensacola. So, yeah.
Well, what about those cute little kids of yours?
Yes, I have two children. One is a 3-year-old son, Jack, and then 3-month-old daughter, Lyra.
Nice, nice. All right.
Yes, I am blessed.
So we're going to get more into where we can find that music later on in the podcast. So, Jean, my first question for you is, what is music?
Music is artificial vibrating air organized for human consumption and entertainment.
All right. So what is music to you?
Music to me is music to me, as in, what does music do for me?
What does it do? How does it make you feel? You know, does it bring you to a different realm?
Yeah. So, it's funny you say that, because it does take me to another realm. I like your terminology there. Very fantastical. Yeah, the reason I got into music in the first place was, well, the reason I got into music was a little different, but the reason I first fell in love with music as a child was because I could close my eyes and listen to music and it would just take me to another world. And yeah, I'm a big fantasy geek. So I would, you know, I would read or play video games while listening to music, and it would really help take me to another place. So why I create music is sort of the same. I try to create worlds in songs, whether that be telling a story or painting an image. But what I really love to do is to take an idea and push it to the max, lyrically and instrumentally. Basically leveraging everything about that idea and extracting every sort of meaning out of it to create this kind of world around this idea. So yeah, that's one thing that music is to me.
Okay, that's awesome. I like how you said it takes you to a different realm or a different world. When I was younger, I grew up with my grandmother who listened to gospel music. And I today love gospel music. It's probably one of my favorite genres. Well, given the fact this is a Christian podcast, of course, it's my favorite genre. But but yeah, I would listen to, you know, these old songs like Mahalia Jackson, for example.
And you just got heaven points.
Thank you, I guess. Do you even know who, do you know Mahalia Jackson?
Yeah, heck yeah.
Okay, so, you know, her voice is so piercing, and I mean that in the best way possible. Yeah. Like, she can hit a low note, and at the drop of a dime, she's hitting some high E over there in space somewhere. And, yeah. You know, her voice is just so filling, like you just don't want to stop listening to her. You know, I'm 33 years old, and till this day, I still listen to Mahalia Jackson. She is still my go-to person. If I have to write a piece about music or a certain musician, like she is definitely God's gift to this earth when it comes to musical talent. Some people may say otherwise. I think she's magnificent. My personal opinion.
I would concede on that. I remember we went to college together, and I think I remember yes. You doing a paper on her, and you telling me about it.
Yeah, I made a B on the paper, and it's only because
that's not worth reading in.
Well, no, it was a presentation as well. So I had to write a paper and actually present it. And when I did it, the teacher wanted to hear a certain song, and I had no idea that this white lady knew anything about Mahalia Jackson. All right. Cause everybody got up and they did something with rap. Some did country, some did, you know, R&B. Some did electricana. There was different types of music that was presented in class. I was the only person to do a gospel artist or a Christian singer for that matter. And the teacher wanted to hear a certain song that I didn't have in my presentation. So I got a B.
Wow. That's cold.
It was cold, but, you know, very, very pushy of the teacher. And I'm glad she pushed me to that level because it made me not just, you know, look at one part of her career, but her whole career.
Right. That makes sense.
So,
I think there are certain artists that are so great that they surpass genre and all the other boundaries that we've invented, tie us into something more universal, you know. She's one of them.
Yeah, I would definitely have to agree with you on that one. So,
that's why it's
worth I know it. You kind of, oh yeah, absolutely. I know you kind of answered this question already, but you know, why are you into music and what does it do for you? So what I want you to do, since you did kind of allude to that earlier, is I want you to go more into detail. You know, you said that it takes you to a different realm. Like, how does music transcend your soul, if you will? Like, how does it connect you to, I don't know, whatever realm you go into? All right, I'll make it easy. How does it connect you to God?
Sure, yeah. Well, to me, that's two different things that can kind of work together. As far as the realms thing, you know, like I said, I'm a fantasy geek, and so there's all these different textures and moods, and you know, whether it's an emotion or like an actual visual imagery of a place, you know, you can create so much with music, and you can tie all kinds of different elements of reality and creation together. And that's what's fascinating to me. As far as how does it take me, how does it take me closer to
God?
How does it help me transcend? That's a great way to word the question. I do think that music is a transcendental art. And I guess all art is I'm going to have to stop trying to say that word. Three strikes and I'm out.
Transcendental.
Transcendental. Oh, man. Yeah, I think all art has its own ways of transcending. You know, I like to think very concretely, physically, you know, and tie that to the abstract ways we like to talk about life. So, you know, we talk a lot about, I guess in the modern Western worldview, we have a lot of abstract terminology and a lot of just euphemisms for things of the soul, but I like to tie it into the physical world because I'm a very physical person, and I don't mean working out, but I like to do things with my hands and feel things. Drive stick.
So you're not this buff guy that you know
everybody? No. Well, we'll leave that question up to your listeners, I guess. They can decide based on the sound of my voice. I'm going to leave that a mystery. No, I'm just kidding. So as far as I know, this is a roundabout way into answering your question. But as far as the physics of music, you know, like I said, all art transcends, and music specifically transcends by use of time. Music is the art of time. You have to experience music through time. You can't just look at it like a painting in a moment. You have to experience it. And so how it transcends as far as my soul. I'm going off on a train here. How it takes me closer to God is basically, it's all in the lyrics, you know, it's confronting myself and the way we like to view the world, or whoever likes to view the world. I like to take in different opinions and then basically face them and confront them based off of the truth that I know about God in his word. You know, life is no shortage of questions.
Wow.
And so,
that was pretty deep. I like that. So, now I kind of want to segue away from music temporarily. And I want the listeners to understand that both myself and Jean, we're both Christian people. And we're not perfect, nor will we ever be until the day we are called home. So I want to take this opportunity to discuss our belief in God. And Jean, I'll let you take the first crack at it.
Okay, belief in God as far as what?
As far as our faith goes. I'm sorry. Since it's a faith podcast or faith episode, you know, our belief in God based around our faith.
Yeah, okay. So to me, not just to me, faith literally means trust, right? And I feel like it's taken me a long time to learn that. There's a lot of religious-y sounding words that are religious-y sounding just because they're older English words that have changed kind of meanings over time. And so, you know, when we hear faith, instantly we think of, you know, just it's a Bible word. But if we translate it with trust, it's the same thing. And it sounds more practical to me. So whenever I'm trusting, I'm putting my life in someone else's hands instead of my own. And that person is Jesus, because, you know, everything is already in his hands, according to what I believe. So by placing my trust in him, by placing my life in his hands and his power, I'm basically just aligning myself with the correct order of creation, the way things ought to be. I like to think of it as if I am a stringed instrument. I'm bringing this back to music. Sorry, but
that's the point.
Yeah. I like to think of myself as like a guitar or a lyre or a harp or something. And, you know, I've got these strings and, you know, whether it's humidity or being beat around or just neglected, those strings get out of tune, or they get weathered and they need to be replaced with fresh strings on a guitar or whatever. And that's what life is to me. That's what I am. I feel like I need to tune up, you know, I need to stay in tune to be a harmonically pleasing human being and not a dissonant one. You know, all of nature kind of has this resonance, you know, the planets circle around the sun at specific mathematical resonances. And everything kind of vibrates, you know, everything in the world that exists vibrates at different frequencies. So the music is all around us. We can't always hear it. The medieval writers and thinkers had a phrase for it called the music of the spheres.
Or, yep.
You know, a lot of people are familiar with that. But to me, that's endlessly fascinating. I don't think it's just a metaphor. I think it's a reality. And by that, I mean, I'm not saying I'm like a crazy, well, maybe I am a crazy metaphysicist, but
maybe
all I'm saying is that everything does vibrate, and there's music in everything. And so I want to tune up and be harmonious with that. I sound so like ooey gooey right now, but but yeah, I do believe that.
Yeah. So my faith, if you want to tie it to music, obviously, and I'm going to use a very specific word and then I'll break it down for you. I am confident in my faith. I am confident in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. I am confident in what the Holy Spirit can do, has done, and will do. Okay. So my confidence, and I'm going to drop the word faith for a second. My confidence in God transcends everything that I can possibly do as a human being. My confidence in music helps me to, and I'm specifically Christian music. And you said something earlier about the lyrics. It's all in the lyrics. And I 100% agree. You know, just a side note, I'll stand in church and I won't be the football worshiper, you know, the football stand worshiper or the big fish worshiper, you know, the whole different types of worshipers. I'll just stand there in awe of the lyrics and I'm listening to the lyrics. It doesn't mean I'm not, you know, in the moment or worshiping God in the moment. I am listening to the lyrics. Okay. And I'm confident in some of the lyrics that I hear, depending on the song. All right. Because I know God is in it. Okay. And you're probably wondering, why am I using the word confident? Now, Jean, you said something earlier about, you know, the words and the meanings changing over years. confidence, all right, if anybody knows Latin, confide, which means with faith, I'm, you know, if you want to change it up, with faith, I know God is able to do things. With faith, God is able to, you know, exceedingly do all things, you know, whatever he wants to do, he can do it. You know, with confidence, God can do those things. With faith, God can do. You get where I'm going? So,
oh, yeah.
So for me, my belief in God, oh goodness, I don't think there's ever a time I didn't, you know, wholeheartedly not believe, if that makes sense. I think ever since I was a little kid, I've always believed in God, and that's partly my grandmother's fault, because she instilled in us the values of knowing who Jesus is. So I have to give her kudos to that. And when you add the music element to it, you have this, one of Mahalia Jackson's songs. It's a question. It's in the form of a question. What then? When the preacher has preached his last sermon, what then? When the choir has sang its last song, what then? You know, when the Bible lay open on the altar, what then? And just listening at those lyrics and, you know, transcending from one realm to another, and I'm putting myself in this question, if you will, asking myself, what then? What then am I to do with this faith that I have? What then am I to do with this good news that we possess as Christians? You know, so my belief in God is, you know, all I need is Jesus, and all I need to have is faith. But when God gives us stuff like music, you know, words and lyrics, and being able to be a wordsmith and put music together and put lyrics together to make it make sense. You know, Jean, you do an awesome job with your music in that. And I'm not just saying that because you're a guest. I'm saying that because it's the truth. You know, you have a way of taking words and making them make sense. All right.
Man, now, thank you, Brandon. I appreciate
it. Right. You may not know this, but, you know, listening at some stuff, you know, that you wrote kind of helps people out. It kind of helped me in a dark spot back in the day.
Man.
When I worked at a particular job, I would go listen to some of your lyrics because it'll make sense. You know,
I'm honored now that it would do that for you. So.
Well, yeah, absolutely. So now I kind of want to transition into creative writing. The best creative writer I know of, I'm sorry, Jean, it's not you. It's not Shakespeare. It's not anybody from the medieval times. It's not the great reformers. It's not Charles Spurgeon. It's not John Piper. The best creative writer I know is God himself. You know, he has given us
heaven points.
No, seriously, he has given us the mindset to be able to basically take words, a collection of words, and put them together to make, you know, help people understand certain things.
Yeah.
Like, I started this project maybe, I think, right when I started podcasting, which was back in 2019, right before the pandemic, if you will. I started this process where I would say something and, you know, one of my friends would be like, dude, that's good. And I'm like, huh? What are you talking about? You know, like, I'll forget, not that I forget what I said, but later on, I would forget what I said.
Yeah.
So one of my friends challenged me to start writing quotes. Okay. Now, I love writing.
Yeah.
I'm more of the lengthy writer, not the short, you know, quote writer or whatever. So I took him up on his challenge and I started writing my quotes out. Okay. Like if I say something, I'll try my best to remember it. And then I'll go to my phone and write the quote out. And then I'll post about it later on social media, whatever it is. You know, back in April of this year, we had the Secor incident where a vessel capsized. And it unfortunately claimed the lives of several people, you know, and my agency decided it was the best idea to send me down there as the chaplain to assist with any emotional needs or any, basically just be there for the families. All right.
Yeah.
And wouldn't, as horrible as this going to sound, but that was an awesome opportunity for me to see how I would interact in the ministry if I was a pastor dealing with a tragic incident like this. And, you know, one of the family members, they kept saying, you know, what if my family member died alone? You know, what if they did this? You know, what if this happened? And of course, I'm thinking of music. You know, my brain constantly thinks of music. I love music. It's like one of the things that can calm me down. And I'm talking to her, and, you know, she said, you know, but yeah, he believed in God. He's a strong believer, strong Catholic, you know, for whatever that means, you know, whole nine yards, you know, just all around believes in God.
Yeah.
And out of nowhere, and this was clearly the Holy Spirit, not Brandon Queen, this came out of my mouth. And I quote, "In this life, death might be our biggest enemy, yet the living may not understand why. But I tell you this day that in the next life, death is our victory." Okay.
Nice.
And I wrote it down. And then a couple of days later, I went back and explained what that meant. Okay. Now, I had not, just to give you some background, we had just did the 23rd Psalm. We read from the 23rd Psalm. And I stopped at, you know, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And I stopped there. And I had several people say, "Why are you stopping at death? Why are you stopping at death? Where's the hope? Where's the hope? Where's the hope?" And I said those words, you know, in this life, death is our biggest life. But in the next life, death is our victory. What does that mean? Okay. It means simply this: if you are in Christ, you will rise with him again. The dead in Christ shall rise. Okay. Your victory is not this life. Yes, you can have victories in this life, being a music artist, being a movie star, whatever, you know, being a good cop, being a good, you know, English teacher, whatever, you know, you'll have victories on earth. But being in the presence of God the Father, you know, and being able to sing holy, holy, holy at the end of our day, to me, that's the biggest victory. So my faith lies in the fact that one day I will be with Christ. And I'll get to sing, and I can't sing. I cannot carry a tune. They tell me to shut up in church. I'm not allowed to even touch any musical instrument when I'm at church. You know, okay, I'm joking. But I can't sing. That's not a joke. Now, so I want to get into creative writing. And lately, Jean, you've been posting some things that has piqued my interest. And you're just an all around pretty cool guy. So I'm going to share something with the audience real quick, and then we're going to get into creative writing. So 4 days ago, you posted this on your Instagram. Let me see if I can read it, because your handwriting's not that great. Sorry, buddy. It says, "There is no frame to hold a broken man. I pray for you to hold me. Earth bows up to bear me. Air wraps up around me. Lights pulse upon me. The wind in whisper says, it is enough." Did I butcher it?
Finally sliced it. So no, I would not say butcher. It's a nice little fillet.
So let's talk about creative writing, because that was one of the writings that kind of got me through the day 4 days ago,
man.
And I'm not going to go into detail what happened, but let's talk about creative writing and how creative writing also ties into your faith, ties into your relationship with God, ties into music. Let's talk about it all at one time.
Yeah. I appreciate your words, Brandon. You know, I'm honored, and I've said it already, but I'm honored that I could help you through stuff without even knowing it. And it would be good for your listeners to know also that, you know, we've been friends for a long time, and Brandon, you have helped me through so many dark times many conversations, you know, I know I can always reach out to you. And like you said, your quotes come in at handy times and often off the cuff. I want to go back to, well, first of all, you called me an all around pretty cool guy, and I don't know if I'm worthy of that title, but I definitely want to use that in my resumes and bios from now on. It's official.
50 cents per resume.
That's fine. It's worth it. It's official. I'm an all around pretty cool guy. I want to go back to what you said about God being kind of the ultimate writer. I think that's incredible. Yeah, I love to think of it that way as well. You know, I love stories. And I guess I don't have anything to add to that, but I just wanted to point out that that was cool. And I agree.
To God be the glory.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've always loved writing. From when I was a little bitty person, I've always wanted to be a writer before I even wanted to do music.
But you still are a little bitty person.
Yeah. I'm still a little bitty person. I've got a lot of growing to do. You know, so I always try to make time for writing. And lately I've been faced with some things where I've had to basically I got kicked in the pants, and it was time to turn some things around about myself. And so I'm working on a lot of aspects of myself, and one small thing is, you know, I haven't been writing, and I need to do that. You know, it's one of those things where if the you know, if it sits too long, it just gets stagnant, and I gotta let it flow. So, yeah, I don't like to put myself out there very much, but I started just writing these little poems based off of, you know, thoughts or feelings that I had, and putting them out there kind of just to have something like imperfect and low stakes. You know, I love doing art, but a lot of times art to me is high stakes. And these are very low stakes and fun and easy, not easy, but yeah, I mean, relatively, it's fun to not worry about quality control, but to just, to write it and create. And if, you know, it's handwritten, if I mess up or something, it's pen, it's not pencil. So I can't erase. And to me, that's the most important thing, because I'm such a brutal editor of myself. So if I mess up or something in the drawing or whatever, I got to work around it or find a way to fix it or compensate for it or just let it shine as imperfection. And that's been fun. But yeah, I love to write, and I've been making a practice of it more lately. To me, writing is the way that I best process reality, whether it's in the world or in myself. And it always comes back to the self, you know, what is in the world, you know, we process through ourselves and our own, you know, perspectives and stuff. So, yeah, that particular poem came from a place of being like, you know, like I said, I've gotten kicked in the pants, and I'm not the only one, but, you know, my family has gone through a difficult season. And so as a man, you know, I was just thinking about how I hold my kids when something's wrong. And or how my wife holds my kids and as well, and then how I can hold her. But as a man, there's really no one to hold you. You know, you're just kind of expected to suck it up. I think a lot of men would relate to that. It may not necessarily be actually true, you know, but I think a lot of people feel that way. And so, yeah. I just wanted to be held. God is spirit. He's not physically right here with me. But like I said before, I want to be in tune with the way things ought to be, you know, harmonically resonant. And so when I pray, I recognize that even in the silence, there's an answer to that prayer. And there is grace all around me. You know, the earth bows up to bear me. You know, every day it holds me up. The air wraps around me. You know, I'm embraced by oxygen, the element of life. Light pulses upon me. You know, light is literal physical energy that gives us life. So all these things that give us life are right here, bearing me up through any trial. And so, yeah, that's enough. You know, it's not like, it kind of sounds like suck it up, but it's not. You know, it's more like gratitude and recognizing the blessings of life in the midst of any trial. And just the fact of going back to air, you know, literally spirit means breath, you know, you know, if we're talking outside of just modern English, you know, spirit literally means breath. In the ancient Greek has a word called pneuma in the Bible, you know, that they used for multiple things. In the ancient Hebrew, ruach, you know, and I don't really know these ancient languages, but I know.
You said that pretty good. That was pretty good.
Thanks. But I know some words. And these words, you know, literally mean breath or wind or spirit. So to me, those three ideas are tied up together. Like I said before, I like taking abstract concepts and thinking of them physically. You know, God breathed into man. He gave us breath. We literally breathe air. And so we have a spirit. So yeah.
I like it. I like it. You know, so yeah, my creative writing, and I feel guilty now because I haven't written anything. Now I've done some quotes. I do write my quotes down, but I haven't published a lot of them.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, but I haven't written an article or an essay, you know, like I want to do one on God's grace is more sufficient than, you know, critical race theory or something like that. Like I know the topic is there. I just haven't had the time to do it because most of my creative writing has been in law enforcement, writing reports.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. So, you know, moving from creative writing, you know, we talked about music and what is music and what it does for you. Now I want to ask the question, how does music strengthen your faith?
Yeah, that's a good question. So like we talked about, faith is trust, and you brought up an awesome perspective. It's confidence, you know, you know, you can't trust something unless you're confident that it works. And so a lot of people talk about faith as if it's this like ethereal, wishful, blind hope that really doesn't stand on anything. And that couldn't be more opposite from the truth. You know, I wouldn't have faith if I didn't see the evidence, both in history and in my own life and in the lives of others, of the Spirit of God working, of, you know, Jesus being a real person who really taught these things and who really rose from the dead, despite, you know, people trying to shut it up or silence it. And so, yeah, confidence. And so how does music strengthen my confidence in God? How does it strengthen my trust in God? Well, like I said before, whether through humidity or trials or neglect of taking care of myself, my strings get out of tune. And so, whatever's happening around me is bruising me and knocking me around, and I need something to center my focus. And for me, music is a almost supernatural way to do that. It's, you know, anything creative is supernatural, in my opinion. Like you said, God is the ultimate creator. Anytime we create, we're participating in godlike behavior. Whether that's for ill or good depends on us. But, you know, with great power comes responsibility. And we have the great power of creation within us. And so how we use that power of creation, you know, we'll be held accountable for it. But yeah, music to me restores that confidence by re-centering my focus. Yeah. A lot of times when I'm writing a song, it's to deal with things I don't understand. And I've never really appreciated songs that kind of just like have issues in the verse, and then when they get to the chorus, they have the answer.
yeah.
At least in a very cookie cutter, like shallow way, you know, I'm not, you know, so yeah, I try to deal deeply, with my doubts and thoughts. And to me, it's the honest music that helps me grow and helps me move forward and hold on. Yeah, I think faith is just holding on, like, for dear life. That's what it is, you know.
Believing in the unseen or the unknown, faith.
Yeah, unseen, but not unknown. Yeah, that's what I
would. Even better. See, even better.
Yeah.
Even better, you know. So the way
the air is unseen, but it's not unknown. It's within us, you know.
Correct. There you go. Holy Spirit is not unknown, but it's in us.
Yeah.
So for me, I would answer the question, how does music lead to God? By saying that it is the best way to bless God, you know, to worship God through music and song. And again, I am not the best singer. I don't sing. I don't try to sing. But when I listen to music, I'm ultimately looking for ways that this song glorifies God. You know, I'll listen to some gospel songs and it's, you know, if it's that prosperity gospel song type deal that I'm not too much into. And it says, if you do this, God's going to bless you with this and God's going to bless you with that. And, you know, OK, we get it. God's going to bless us. But how are we going to bless God? You know, and I think, you know, you said it earlier that it's in the lyrics. If the lyrics are centered around God and not around ourselves, I think we can probably unlock a more powerful way to express ourselves through music and our worship and love for God through music. I don't know. It's just me. Yeah. I don't want to bash the prosperity gospel message. Yeah, I do. It's horrible. Because God gets all the glory and God deserves to, you know, be the center of that. Because without God giving you life, you couldn't produce or create that thing that he blessed you with.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so
I suppose you're talking about worship music in the church. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Worship music in the church. Of course not.
Congregational music.
Yeah. I'm not talking about rap.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. I do think that there are... there are many, I guess you could say, angles to approach faith, even within congregational worship. You know, it's more limited than your regular song that you're just singing for whatever purpose, because it has to fit these certain limitations, you know, of being singable by a group of people and holding to a specific creed that is, you know, is not gonna be like questionable or whatever. I do think that there's variety in the angle that you can approach it, though. When I look at the Psalms, you know, there are Psalms where
you beat me to it.
There are Psalms where, you know, people are praising God or whatever, and then there's other Psalms where they're like, God, what are you doing? You know, where have you been? Or I feel like this, you know, I've been under the water. There's a lot of variety in it. And then there's wisdom psalms that just sing about, you know, general truths that about the way the world operates under God and how that all points back to God. Yeah. So I appreciate all their perspectives. But like you said, as long as they lead us to God and not to some sort of fake message about ourselves and Him.
Right. And I'm glad you brought up the Psalms, because one of the Psalms that I've kind of fell in love with is Psalm 51. And this is about David. You know, basically, he had already committed adultery with Bathsheba. And, you know, Psalm 51 starts off with, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Wow. Like that, you know, singing that, if you will, just wow. Wow. Yeah. You know, and then going down further down in the verse, verse 10 of 51 says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me the willing spirit to sustain me." They don't write like that anymore. You know?
Yeah.
I don't want to sound negative, but.
Right.
Like, this is a man that is after God's own heart, basically approaching God again later, a year later, confessing his sins and telling God, "This is what I did, oh God. You know, forgive me of this, oh God. Don't remove your spirit from me. Don't remove that unfailing love from me. Blot out my iniquities." And he uses the word iniquities several times throughout this passage. And "Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise." Like, just this psalm, and I love the book of Psalms. And just a little side note, back in the day, they used to sing the Psalms. Okay. So just imagine taking Psalm 51, and this is actually a project for you, Jean. Take Psalm 51 and make it into a psalm. Okay. But you got to be honest with yourself. And that's another thing I want to mention. When it comes to music and how music leads to God, you know, if you're specifically taking your talent in music and you do this, Sean, and your goal is to ultimately glorify God, okay, because we're supposed to, you know, glorify God, enjoy Him forever. And if your goal is to glorify God through your music, be honest with yourself, because music is an honest way to worship God.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. It's just my opinion, but I think music is the most honest way to worship God. You know, going back to Mahalia Jackson and her singing her song, "What Then?" What prompted her to sing that song? You know, did she write it? No, she didn't write it, but she saw it. She liked it. She has another one that Elvis Presley actually did a rendition of, "Crying in the Chapel." You know, these are artists back in the day, gospel singers back in the day were just honest. They just put their heart and soul out there. They wore their asking of forgiveness on their sleeves.
Yeah.
And the world saw their struggle.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
You know, and I used to be, before I really got serious in my faith, I used to own almost all of Lil Wayne's songs. Okay, this is a guilty confession I have. I used to listen to rap music. But when I got serious with my faith and I got serious with wanting to know God and have a relationship with Him, and I love music, so my music changed. Is this music that I'm listening to glorifying God? Or is it detrimental to my faith? So I had to make a serious decision earlier on in my life to not go with the crowd, not go with the masses, and make sure that they're happy and pleased with what I do. And I had to be honest with myself And the first place that I could attack that with was with the type of music I listened to.
Yeah.
And, you know, my creative writing isn't as good as yours, Jean, I'll admit. I'm a pretty good quote writer. I'm really not, you know, but.
Don't downplay yourself.
Well, God gets all the glory, so I'm downplayed anyway.
Exactly. So you don't need to do it anymore.
Fair point. But, you know, how can God be glorified through music? And before I get you to answer that question, I want the listeners to know that the music is entrenched in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Okay. Basically, you said something like you're like a harp or a lyre or even a violin, and God is, you know, plucking the strings to make a beautiful sound, where I'm like a drum. He's just beat me because I can't get it together.
Well, you can beat a guitar too and get some good sounds out of it.
You're right.
I know from experience. I'm pretty beat.
But 1 Samuel 16, 14 through 23, it talks about, you know, David played the harp for King Saul. Okay. And that was one of David's strongest qualities, was the fact that he could play music so well. All right. So we're talking about a man after God's own heart. Why is he a man after God's own heart? You know, we know why, but then we start looking at the small things that kind of get overlooked. Like, he was a shepherd boy. Okay. He played a harp to, I guess, keep the sheep together or keep them pleased. But he also played that harp, or that lyre, if you will, to please God. And then God in return took that talent. All right, go play for King Saul, because one day you're going to sit in his seat. All right. But then he writes Psalm 51, which, again, can be a song. And he, you know, glorifies God. Basically, he's already downplaying himself. He's calling out his sin, but at the same time, he's glorifying God in the mix.
Yeah.
All right. So, can God be glorified through music? And do you have any Bible verses or sermons you may have heard around this topic, Sean?
Yeah. So, how can God be glorified through music? I think it's you kind of alluded to this, but I think it's from overflow. You know, you said you had to change the music you were listening to. And, you know, I do think, to an extent, you know, what you put in is what will come out.
Absolutely.
Now you could take some things in and then twist them around. You know, it's not like you can only listen to gospel music if you believe in the Lord Jesus, you know.
Hallelujah.
You know, even Paul in the Bible quoted secular plays and used them for God's glory. So I think everything points to God, you know, whether it tries to or not. But if you're trying to, if you're in line, like I said, if you're in tune with him, then you're pointing to him a lot more clearly, if that makes sense. So
it does.
People
it
can't
does.
Help it, because everything is made by God. So everything points back to him. But sometimes the vision is distorted or cracked, you know, and that's because of all of us. You know, none of us have a wonderful, perfect vision of God. You know, we're all just, the veil was there and it's slowly being lifted, you know, and we're beholding more and more light if we're following after him and holding the faith. You know, he reveals himself to us along the way. And so the hope is that what you do shines his light more clearly, but the light is always there. I personally feel that way. So Lil Wayne points to God whether he's trying to or not, and it's not necessarily because of his whatever he's doing. I haven't listened to Lil Wayne, so I don't really know what he's doing. But if it's not because of what he's doing, it might be in spite of what he's doing.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna say Lil Wayne doesn't acknowledge God when he does things, because he does.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, he does. It's just his music whatever.
Well, yeah, I mean, there may be some things that you don't agree with or whatever. So yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, all I'm trying to say is I think music can glorify God, by being an overflow of a life of following him. You know, if I'm just living my life, walking with him as he's my shepherd, and I'm also happen to be writing music, that music is going to point to him. And hopefully it would point very clearly to him. So yeah. And I, as far as, you know, Psalm 51 and, you know, church music, I also have long felt that there's a dearth of confessional themed songs in the church. You know, that's just an underrepresented emotion and action in worship music. I think, you know, there's a lot of hype, I guess. So if there's any worship writers out there, can you write some more confession songs? I'm not going to try to rewrite Psalm 51. And I wouldn't expect anyone to, any writer to kind of measure up to or surpass the writing of David. I mean, he's definitely on another level, you know.
But I have to admit, Shane and Shane, you know, they have a Psalm volume 1 and 2 of their music where they try their best to, I don't want to say rewrite the lyrics to the Psalms, but they try their best to present them in a worship song like setting. And I love Shane and Shane, and they do a great job at it.
Yeah, they do. They're really good. You know. They're actually incredible. I love them. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, we have talked about what is music. You know, we've asked you, you know, how does music help you transcend to different places? We have talked about our belief in God. We talked about creative writing. You know, we talked about how does music strengthen our faith? How does music lead to God? And can God be glorified through music? So my last question for you, and this is mainly for the listeners, Jean, is that I would like you to tell people who inspire to be a writer, either a music writer, creative writer, playwright, whatever type of creativity, what kind of inspiration would you give my listeners?
Okay, so if anyone like aspires to write, basically, is that what you're asking?
Yeah, any type of writing, music, creative, playwright.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I don't come from a place of like success where I can share like, oh, well, do this and this and it's
nonsense.
but, you know, I've been through a lot and I've learned a lot. And what I would say is, you know, if you're young, be patient with yourself. And if you're older, it's never too late. Yeah, because I think in our youth, we're so passionate. We want to see things happen. But real life takes time and like way more time than we think. So be patient with yourself if you're not there yet where you want to be in your writing or your goals or whatever. And as far as the writing process itself, I've said it before, but I think, honesty is more important than anything else. We write and specifically we read or listen or however we as humans take in words, whether it be through novels or poems or songs, we read to connect to the universal human experience, to either hear a new perspective on our experiences or to resonate and relate to a common experience. We all want that validation of like, oh, someone else is going through this, or oh, here's a new perspective on something that I've gone through, or here's something that I've never heard before. And it just blows my mind. All of it is about connecting to the universal human experience. And so when you write, I would say the most crucial thing is to be honest. And that means digging deep within yourself and not sugarcoating, not settling for, you know, not being lazy. When you ask the hard questions, don't be lazy with your answers. If you can't find an answer, then don't provide an answer. Just ask the questions. And sometimes that's enough.
That's why I like being a podcast host. I get to ask the questions.
Yeah.
That was amazing, Jean. And I would love to thank you for your time, taking the time out to talk to me about, you know, faith and music and basically your journey through life. The short version, if you will. Before we close this segment out, is there anything else you want the listeners to know? I think you just did a good job with that last statement that nothing else needs to be added, but that's just me. But if you have some other kind of advice, I'd like you to give that now.
Okay. Well, first of all, before it's too late, I want to say I'm honored that you had me on your podcast. Thank you. It's been real fun. Any last words of advice? What can I draw from the fount of wisdom today? I don't know. All right, well's dried up.
All right, I'm not gonna strangle any more words out of you. All right, buddy. Well, look, how can people find you? Like social media, how can we find your music?
Yeah.
You know.
So you got to learn how to spell my name to find me. It's JeanGuillory.
And Guillory.
Yeah. Jean Guillory. So yeah, just find me on Instagram, Facebook. And yeah, so on my Instagram and stuff, I am, basically promoting my my home studio and my music producing that I recently started doing for other artists, as well as posting my writings, whatever I'm writing about. So it's kind of a double pull and double duty. I don't like to paint myself into corners. So yeah, find me on there. And then my band is Day Like This, my wife and I. And our friends. And so that can be found on Facebook, at Day Like This Band on Instagram and YouTube. And, we're probably gonna be jumping into TikTok sometime soon. And we have some songs on Apple Music, Spotify, and all the other streaming services. Our latest song is Fan Into Flame. And we will have more music coming out soon as well.
Awesome. I cannot wait. And I'm actually, to help the listeners out, when you read the show notes to the show, I know on Apple iTunes for sure, it's going to allow you to click the links. So I will actually add all of Jean's social media accounts, Instagram, the band stuff, Facebook, all that good stuff. I'm going to add that into the show notes. And I'll also try to link a song into this podcast show notes as well, so you guys can go sample that. So, but that is all I have. But I would like to urge all of my listeners to see music as a gift from God. To God be the glory for all the things He has done for us and has given us and is constantly doing for us. You know, if you guys have any questions, any testimonials about this episode or about music in general, about faith in general, please go to anchor.fm/elderqueen/message and leave me a message about this episode. Tell us how you feel about it. If you have questions or anything you want to add, and I think it's, you know, worth making another episode out of, I'm going to beg Jean into doing another episode with me and we'll go from there. But we definitely want you guys to get engaged with creative writing. You know, just one of my first guests for the first episode, Ryan Ogeron, said, you know, be creative. And we need to take the time to be creative. You know, we're coming out of a pandemic. A lot of us were stuck at home and, you know, doing all kind of other things. So let's be creative. But in the end, let our ultimate goal be to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's all I ask. So also, if you want to see us grow, I humbly ask that you support our podcast with a small monthly contribution, anywhere from 99 cents up to $9.99 a month or whatever you feel is worth giving. And you can do that at anchor.fm/elderqueen/support. So that is all I have. And I would like to thank you so much, Jean, for joining me with this topic. This is going to probably be my humble opinion, one of the best episodes of this season. And basically what we're doing is we're putting faith on display in people's lives. You know, how faith is working for one may be different for another. So thanks for taking this time to talk to me.
Thank you so much, Brandon.
This is awesome. All right. Well, that's all I have. And we will be signing off. God bless you all.
Seem to hide it. I just get defeated when I try to fight it. Yeah, I am division. The fight is from within, 'cause every decision becomes your religion. So is desire. When I flicker lower, the wind fans me higher. And when I am higher, I burn myself lower. I can't strike a balance when I strike the lighter. Sometimes I'm reaching, and then I need healing. Yeah, we serve a purpose that's not meant to hurt us, but we're our own curses, and I am the worst at this.
The end of yet another episode from The Ear. We hope that God's word remains on the ears of the listeners. We pray that this podcast would urge you to go forth and spread His good news to the world. Thank you for tuning in. Please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. See you at the next episode. God bless you, and may His glory shine upon you.